Abram to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. And let's read some things here. On the screens, if you can go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Hebrews 10 and verse 38. And in our Bibles, let's actually go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. On the screens, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our happy ushers, they'll be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. And you can just lift up your hands and they'll be more than glad to give you one. If you don't have one at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one and make it your very own. I tell you, one of the things that blesses me is after a Wednesday night service and then after the 11:30 on Sundays, I kind of hang around the altar and pray with people who'd like to have me pray for them. And it's so wonderful to see some of the Bibles we've given out. People holding on to them. And you can tell they didn't just get them that Sunday. They're beat up. And I tell you, I like what my father said. It's better to have a beat up Bible than a beat up life. And it's the truth. There's a lot of truth to that. If you get in your Bible, it's okay to bend some pages and things like that. Just get in it. It'll make all the difference in the world. We've been talking on Wednesday nights about a subject that, I tell you what, the more I study it, is just dearer and dearer to my heart. Because you see what God intends to do through the subject. And it's the subject of the blessing of the Lord. And friend, I'm telling you, when you grab a hold of this, you see the power that's in it. And what the blessing of the Lord enables your life to do is to see continual advancement. I'll go beyond that. To see continual advancement, even in the face of obstacles. Even in the face of tests and trials, it's God's power that He originally set up for man to operate in. It takes the toil out of life. God never, ever, ever intended you to struggle in any arena of your life. He intended your life to flow, intended your life to be full of joy and peace. And not that you wouldn't have tests and trials, but you have so much power that you overcome it. Amen. That you're not just sitting there getting beat up, but you're overcoming it. You're seeing headway. You're making advancement. And that's what the blessing of the Lord enables us to do. The more I study this, the more I see how it really bridges over into another subject. And that subject is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. I want you to read this, but I want you to make sure you're doing it too. It says, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 says, now the just, those who have been justified, we have if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul, this is God talking, shall have no pleasure in him. Now the just shall live by his faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, once again, nothing you could ever do could make God love you any more or any less. I mean, He has set His love upon you. But there are things that are pleasing to Him. And there are things that are displeasing to them. Just like with your children, nothing they could ever do could make me stop loving them. But there are times where I'm pleased and there are times where I'm displeased. Does that make sense? And the same way it's true with God. God has set His love upon you. But He still wants you doing several things, but most notably two. He wants you walking in love, allowing no strife in your life whatsoever. And friends, I'll just say this real quick. If there is ever, ever any strife in your life, get it out. Because God has called you to walk in love. Don't play with it. Don't sleep on it. Get it out of your life. Do whatever it takes because God has called you to walk in love. It is the New Testament commandment. But secondly, not only are we called to walk in love, we are required by God to live by faith. And that is His sole purpose for giving the blessing to mankind is to train mankind to have faith in God for whatever we need. That we are not to be codependent upon things on this earth. linked up to things in this earth, that God is our source for everything. So when we run into a need in this life, we are placing all of the pressure, I mean every bit of it, all of the pressure over upon the Lord. That if you face something financially, you take that pressure you're feeling and you put that pressure over upon the Lord. You look to Him to meet that need. And you don't draw back until you see a full manifestation of the things that He's promised you. And God says when you do that, you please Him. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. But buddy, when you believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, oh, it pleases Him. Friend, you're required to live by faith. And what has happened in our society today, and it's really due to bad preaching, I'll be honest with you. What's happened in our society today is people are looking to everything else to meet their need. I mean to everything else to meet their need. Over in the, when God delivered the children of Israel, we'll look at some of this tonight, hopefully. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, one of the first things He did to them was tell them none of the sicknesses or diseases that were in the land of Egypt are going to come on you. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You look that up. What He's saying there is I am your physician. When you're sick, you come to me. And I'm all for doctors. Thank God for them, because without them, a lot of Christians would have died because they didn't do this. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine and vitamins and all of that kind of stuff. But friends, I'm telling you, the pressure for your healing ought not just be on a PhD or on a doctorate. God says, I am your physician. If you're sick, you need to come to me too. Amen. He told him, I'm El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. If you're lacking in any way, you come to me. You bring that pressure to me. And if you draw back, then my soul takes no pleasure in that. If you need wisdom, God says, you come to me. I'm your source of wisdom. If you don't know what to do, don't just sit there. Depend on me as your source. And I'm saying all of this to say this, like we said last week, God has given you the blessing. This is not something you're having to work for. According to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. By being nailed to a tree, He became the curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, the blessing of God is on you. And you are redeemed from the curse. And we went through in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and we looked at what that blessing will do. Friend, there's no part of the blessing of God, there's no part of your life that blessing doesn't enhance. It enhances your family, it enhances your job, it enhances your body. And the curse does the complete opposite. It destroys your life, destroys your family, destroys your job, destroys your health, takes away your family. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28 for reference if you weren't here for our past services. But according to Galatians chapter 3, the blessing that is written about and Deuteronomy chapter 28, it is on you right now if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But not only is that blessing on you if you've accepted Jesus, if you haven't, we'll give you the opportunity to do so tonight. But not only is that blessing on you, but you have been, not trying to be, you have been redeemed from every one of the curses written about in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Not trying to get that way, have been. And what I'm getting at with all of this is it's time we as the body of Christ actually open up our Bibles and not just have people tell us about what's in it, but get in it ourselves, study it out, get that word in our heart, and start putting pressure on God to perform His word. He said, I will watch over my word to perform it, but you must return it unto me. It's not enough for me to give it to you. You give it back to me with the words of your mouth. And when you do, I will watch over it and I will perform it, for I am not a God that I should lie. All the pressure, all of it, is to go on the Lord. All the financial resources you need. And friend, I'm telling you, I'm speaking from personal experience. There's some things God's put on my heart that are big things, far beyond me for this ministry. But all the pressure for it, it's over on the Lord and on that blessing. Father, you put this on my heart. I say things like this all the time. You put this on my heart, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the whole world. This is born of you, so this thing's overcoming this world and bringing to me everything I need to fulfill it. Well, what is that? That's putting pressure where the pressure belongs. It's putting pressure on the Word, pressure on God, and pressure on that blessing. That's living by faith. And friend, I'm telling you, when you do it, you're pleasing God. But when we're bowing our knee to everything in this world, quaking in fear over something we read in the newspaper, something we saw on the job, something we heard in a doctor's report, it is displeasing to God. Because God is saying, I am sitting here telling you everything you will need in this life, I will bring it to you so your life sees continual advancement. Live by faith. And it's time we get back to the basics. The Word will work if we work it. If we work the Word will work for us. But we got to work this thing. We got to live by faith. Now, the blessing we're blessed with is the blessing of who? We've mentioned him already in this service. The blessing of Abraham. The blessing didn't start with Abraham. It started all the way back with Adam, then came to Noah, then came to his sons. And Abraham is a descendant of Noah. And the blessing also came on him. But the reason why the Bible mentions the blessing of Abraham above all the other people in the Old Testament who walked in the blessing is because Abraham, I believe, was two things. Number one, he was a man who walked in the fullness of the blessing. In essence, you can study the life of Abraham and see what the blessing will do. And then two, he was also the father of faith. And it takes faith to activate the blessing of God. In Genesis chapter 12, we see Abraham. Once again, to all of you people sitting in these seats, Abraham was not a preacher. Abraham was a businessman. He had a job just like you have a job. And he was a man who was not a God worshiper, but apparently he had some character about him. And God knew that he would raise his family right. Listen to me, mothers and fathers. It's very interesting to see in the Bible how God picked some people. And the reason why he picked Abraham was because he knew he would raise up a household that would love God and walk in his ways. And I'm telling you what, that counts for something, friend. And Abraham was a man who worshiped the stars and other gods, but he was a man of character, and God saw a man that he could use. So on one particular evening, he comes and meets with Abram, reveals himself as God Almighty. But he also tells him some things. Watch what he tells him in Genesis chapter 12. Why should this be relevant to you? Because the blessing that was on this man is the same blessing that's on you. So if you can find out what it did for him, you can see what it should be doing for you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from your family and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make my name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse thee. And in you shall all the families of the earth be what? Be blessed. That's not just, like we said, that doesn't mean just, well, they're spoken highly about. No, it means empowered. Through you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be empowered. Here, God comes to Abram, who's a businessman, reveals himself as God, and tells him, I want you to do something first. I want you to get away from everything that's familiar to you. Now, why would God tell him to do that? Leave your immediate family, leave the land that you're in, leave all that's familiar to you, and go into a land that I will show you. Why would God do that? I'll tell you why he did it. God wanted this man to do exactly what I was just preaching. He wanted this man to live by faith. Now, for those of you who are in business, I don't know what business you're in, so I'll just relate it to this church. It'd be one thing if I felt called by God to resign from this church and start another church in the city. If I started another church in the city, you know, something came up and it's not going to happen, but just theoretically. If I resigned from this church and started another church in the city, I'd have a chance in the natural to have success, right? Because I have connections, I know people, I know people that would come with me and that type of thing. Does that make sense? And it's the same thing with you. For instance, if you own you work for a construction company or a concrete company, and you feel like it's time for me to start my own business, it's one thing for you to start knowing all the people in this area, other clients you worked with in the past, all that kind of thing. But it's a whole nother thing if God says, I want you to go miles and miles away, completely out of state. And I want you to go to a place where there's no referrals. I want you to go to a place where you don't own any land. I want you to go to a place where you don't know anyone, including family. I want you to go to a place where you have no resources waiting for you. Why did he do that? Why did God tell Abraham to do this, at this time, Abram? Why did he tell him to do it? Because he wanted him not to depend on anything but him. It's the same reason why Jesus sent his disciples out with nothing. Remember he told them, he sent them out two by two, and he said, don't take any wallet, don't take any purse, don't take an extra pair of clothes, don't take anything. And people, it's amazing, people have preached that God was teaching them how to live in poverty. No, he wasn't. He was teaching them how to live by faith. Because at the end of the story, read the end of the story, at the end of the story, he came to them and said, did you lack anything? And they said, Lord, we lack nothing. Why did he tell them to do it? The same reason why Abram was told by God to leave everything that was familiar to him. God wanted Abram to learn to put pressure on him. God wanted Abram to learn to depend on the Lord for whatever he needed. And friend, this man did something that most people seem to fail to do. He did it. He went out not knowing where he was going. He left everything that was familiar to him. If you read the story, Abraham was not a man who didn't have anything to begin with. His descendants had a blessing upon them as well. And he left out of where he was with a household of about 300 men and women who had been given unto him by his ancestors. People who worked for him directly. He was not a poor man to begin with. And he goes out with this having no place to feed him, no place to house him, no place for his flocks and herds to feed on. Nothing, nothing but God. And he starts out with nothing but God, but also with the blessing of God. And immediately you see his life begin to make advancement. This is what the blessing does. No matter what you face, no matter what's coming against you, the blessing of the Lord enables your life to make advancement. It's not you chasing after things. It's literally the things that God has for you chasing after you. And we see this taking place in Abram's life. If you read the story in Genesis chapter 12, he goes into a city, has an encounter there with the owner of the city. The owner of the city wants to take his wife. He thinks it's Abram's sister, and we went into that a couple of 2 weeks ago. It really was his sister, but anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, he comes out of that blessed. And watch this in Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, it says this, verse 1, and Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. We see Abram come out of this place. He's going into a land where he has no connections in the natural. nothing in the natural to draw on. But if you read Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13, you see a man who knew how to have faith in God. And friend, I'm telling you, the pressure that he was under to be able to provide, not only for his family, but for his household, I'm sure was great. But he was able to transmit that pressure over into the blessing of the Lord until it started multiplying him, until the land could not contain all that God had blessed him with. It was the blessing of the Lord in operation. You see Lot, and you read the rest of the story. You see Lot and Abram, a strife comes up between them, and they decide to go their separate ways. This was not smart on Lot's behalf. He should have realized very quickly that the reason why he experienced anything was because of the blessing on Abram's life. And Lot starts operating underneath the curse. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see that part of the curse is having what you have taken away from you violently. And you see in the coming scriptures here that some kings rose up to go out and make war against some other kings. And Lot was living in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And these kings rose up and overtook the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and took all of Lot's stuff, all of Lot's family, including the family itself. The curse was in operation in his life. But then you see Abram hears about it, and Abram goes after it to redeem Lot out of the curse, to redeem Lot out of that destruction. And what entire nations couldn't fend off? Abram in his own household had enough military might to defeat that enemy, get all the stuff back, take all the spoil, and then come back and give it to everyone that it was taken away from to begin with. And there's something I want you to see here in Genesis chapter 15. Let's go over here and look at this real quick. Well, Genesis chapter 14, the last couple of scriptures here, then Genesis chapter 15. Look in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. After Abram does this, he comes, and I want you to see this real quickly for a future lesson. And it says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Now notice this name Melchizedek, because we're going to come back to that. I want you to see what Melchizedek did. Well, first, see who he was. He was the priest of the Most High God. But notice what he does. He does two things. Verse 19. And he did what? Blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into your hand." And he, meaning Abram, gave him being Melchizedek, tithes of all. So notice Melchizedek did two things. He received tithes and he released the blessing even further. Now the reason why this is significant is found over in the book of Hebrews. And I'll encourage you to read that because we'll probably teach on it next week. Abram came after all this spoil. He just walked into a ton of increase. You got to think the nation that he just came against was a nation, a band of robbers that had stolen from many, many nations, accumulating a ton of wealth. Abram comes, gets all of that spoil, but then he comes to Melchizedek and gives him a tithe, 10% of all the spoil that he took in. Why did he do that? There was never any instruction that we know of that said you need to tithe, Abram. The reason why Abram tithed on all of that increase was because he realized where the increase was coming from. It was coming from his source. He had a source that was empowering his life. What nations couldn't do, Abram could do because the blessing of the Lord was upon him. And friends, when he came in this situation, he gave tithes of all. Melchizedek received those tithes and he released the blessing even further. In Genesis chapter 15, you see God begins to ratify his covenant with Abram. And watch what he tells him here in verse 1. It said, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven, and look now towards the stars, and tell me if you'll be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness." Now, what's interesting here is if you keep reading, you see God does something very awesome with Abram. Not only has he blessed him, but he's about to cut covenant with him. He's about to take this ritual that Abram's very familiar with, and he's about to come in and cut covenant, seal covenant with him. And when he cuts covenant, basically he's saying, this is my guarantee to you that I will watch over my word to perform it. But what's interesting about this whole thing is over towards the next chapter, you see Abraham make a very foolish mistake that so many of us make even today. Abram has seen the blessing of the Lord in operation. He has seen this blessing take him from absolutely nothing, no resources, no land of his own, no connections, and make him a very wealthy individual. Bless him beyond measure. So much so the land wasn't able to contain him. He's seen the handiwork of God. He knows he's in covenant with God. But in Genesis chapter 16, he gets weak. And his wife comes to him and says, why don't you do this thing in the natural? Basically, the desire of Abram's heart is to have a child. They haven't been able to have one. And they're looking towards the natural. God has said, I will be your source for a child. I will take care of it. But Abram begins to look towards the natural. And friend, I'm telling you, this happens today. We, everyone in this room, if you're a child of God, you got a covenant with God Almighty. And friend, it's one thing to have I've got a relative who's a wonderful surgeon. And I was telling my wife, wouldn't it be awesome if you know, he was in your family and, you know, like he's in my family, I had him growing up. And man, if you had anything, any symptoms in your body, anything like that, you had a doctor right there in the family you could go see. But I said, isn't it interesting that it's so quick to call up people like that, but we have a great physician we can go see too. And I said, you know, if Bill Gates was in your family and you knew he loved you, I mean, you were his favorite nephew, he loved you, and you just called him up, you knew he'd be good to you and bless you with something. But I said, isn't it amazing that we've got a God who owns heaven and earth, the cattle on a thousand hills, but we keep looking to all these natural things to meet our needs instead of putting the pressure on the one person who says, I'll bless you as much as you ask me to bless you. And Abram knows he's got a covenant with God, but he prostitutes out his covenant. And he turns to the natural arm of the flesh instead of being patient with God and instead of believing with God, and it produces a son outside of the covenant with God. It produces Ishmael. And buddy, you talk about a mess that caused, not only in that family, but a mess that is caused in the earth today. Out of his loins came Ishmael. But it wasn't a child that was born out of faith. It was a child born out of the flesh. And friend, I'm telling you, when we start giving birth to things out of the flesh instead of out of faith, it'll never work the way it's supposed to work. Abraham knew that this was not a good thing. And after he did it, it started causing strife to come in his home. And later he gets back over into faith and grew in faith. Go over to the next passage of scripture here. Go to chapter, let's see here, chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, at this point, we have seen Abraham have faith in God. He recaptures his faith. He makes the changes he needs to make with Ishmael and his mother. But then he comes back and he believes God. And out of his loins and out of Sarah's womb comes another child in Isaac. And we see him develop that strong faith in God again. And in Genesis chapter 22, and if on the screens, if you can pull up, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 on the screens. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, it said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abram. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, that only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him." Now go over to verse 8. "And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together and came to the place which God had told him of." Now here you have the thing that is most precious to Abram. This is the son he's been believing God for years. And God tells him, I want you to take this son and I want you to offer it up. I want you to take this and I want you to give it. This is the thing that's most precious to him. And you know what Abraham does? He rises up early the next morning. Why? He knows who his source is. Friends, I'm telling you, there have been times in my life where the Lord tells me to give things, sometimes even recently, something financially. He puts it on my heart. I want you to give it. And man, you start thinking, if I give that, dear me, where's the money going to come from for that and this and that and this and that and this? But Abraham didn't flinch. Why? He had grown in faith. He had grown in who his source was. And he tells his son, Isaac, come and says, hey, Dad, we're up here giving a sacrifice. He said, we got the wood. We got the altar. Where in the world's the sacrifice? And Abram knows it's supposed to be Isaac. But you know what Abraham says? My God himself, he will provide a lamb. You read this out of the Annals of Faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 17. It says, by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Next verse. Why'd he do it? Of whom it was said that Isaac shall thy seed be, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. What he's saying is, Abraham had so much faith in God to be his source at that moment. So much faith in the blessing of God that Abraham knew that if I offer up my only son on this altar, if I give the thing that's most precious to me, the blessing of the Lord is powerful enough to raise this kid even from the dead. Friend, you got to think, not only was he going to sacrifice, he was actually going to burn it after he was done. And Abraham had enough faith in the blessing of God, enough faith as God as his source, that he knew God would not leave Isaac in that condition. And if he had to take the ashes, just like he took the dust with Adam, God could breathe life onto that and bring his son back. That's how much faith he had in God. And friend, what I'm telling you, and I'll close with this, I didn't get into anything I wanted to get into, but that's okay. I'll close with this. We got to grow in faith in this. And this natural system, you know, we got high school graduates, people are getting ready to graduate high school. Let me clue you in on something. When you go to a bank to get a loan, all you high school graduates, they're not just going to give you a loan. They're not just going to give you $1 million or $10 million. It's possible that one day they will, but you got to grow into it. You don't just wake up just because you graduate and be an instant player in what a bank will give you. It's a system you have to grow in. Isn't that right? And the same thing is true with the system of God. You have all the capacity in the world, but you got to grow in this thing. And the way you grow is the same way Abraham grew. You got to start looking to God to be your source. I'm talking about when you got a headache, not only do you reach for an Advil, but you reach for your Bible. And you pull it out and you go over those scriptures and you make confessions. Friend, I'm telling you, you got people who wait until something disastrous shows up in their body and then trying to start to believe God for healing. Friend, it starts with something as simple as a headache. You learning to believe God in that arena, and you grow and you grow and you grow stronger and stronger in faith. Are there times where we will miss it? Sure there are, just like Abraham. There are times where we'll lean more to the flesh than over on faith. But friends, I'm telling you, even after that, we need to repent, because whatever's not of faith is sin, according to Romans, and then go back and start looking to God to be our source. I'm all for doctors. I went and had my healthy you physical today. Perfect health, proud to report. But anyway, I went and had my healthy you physical today. I believe in doctors. Doctors are an amazing thing. But friend, I'm telling you this. You got to look to God. When it comes to blessing you on the job, you got to look to God, friend. I'll put it to you this way, in my last closing. We opened up this building about a year and a half ago. And when we were building this building, I knew in my heart I could build it debt-free. I mean, I saw from scriptures, man, God is big enough. And God is able enough that He could bring in the money without me ever having to bow my knee to a banker. Because, friend, that's what happens. You read your covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28. God has blessed you to be the lender and not the borrower. The head and not the tail. Debt is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. And I begin seeing in my covenant with God that He could bless me to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And I knew I wouldn't have to bow my knee to a man, because that's what we do when we borrow money. We're bowing our knee to someone else and saying, will you please be our source? Because we don't have enough without you. We need your money in order to get this car, in order to get this house, in order to build this church. And that is not God's best. It's just not. It's not God's best. God wants to be our source for everything. And I began seeing that. But friend, I'm telling you, in the midnight hours, that thing would wear on me. Oh, goodness, it would wear on me. Well, if you don't get the money now, it'll take you 10 more years to build that building. You're forfeit all of the growth and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And just all the mind games that the enemy plays. And friend, we started out with this, and I did wind up borrowing money, and this is my point. I got to a place to where it looked like we were going to have to borrow 5 or 6. We only borrowed 3 because we used our faith to tarp. We only borrowed 3. Now we only owe 1.8. Amen. Or a year. Amen. We're using our faith to pay it off, not putting pressure on any man. Not only are we paying it off, but you got to see the Life Poindexter. Oh, you got to see it. We're paying that thing with cash. I mean, paying off the loan at the same time. Just sent a check out the other day for $6,000 to a missionary over in Africa because they needed some money. Week before that, sent $20,000 to a church over in the Jackson metro area because they needed some help. Friend, I'm telling you, the Lord's blessing this place. The blessing of the Lord's on this place. But here's my point with that. I know today, as I stand here today, if you'd put this man back 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I could believe God for that money and we'd open up on the same date. And it's not because it's a different faith. It's because I've grown in it. How do you grow in it? You got to work it. It's the same thing like any muscle. God can bless you with muscles, but if you don't work those muscles aren't growing. If you just sit back in a couch and the only muscle you use is your arm muscle to push out the leg deal that comes out of the lazy boy, if that's the only muscle you're using, friend, that muscle's not growing much. And friend, if something came up and you need to lift something real heavy, you might be up a creek without a paddle. And it's not because your muscles didn't have the capacity. Oh, they could. They just weren't developed. And friend, I'm telling you, the same thing is true with the blessing. You can grow in this booger. I mean, you can. You can grow in it. Like Abraham grew in it, you can grow in it until that thing is producing at 100-fold. And when it is, friend, I'm telling you, there's nothing in this earth. I don't care what goes on with the economy. I don't care. I don't care what happens to 10,000 on this side or 1,000 on that side. You can grow in it so much to where it doesn't touch you. One of the blessings is he'll take sickness away from your midst. From your midst. You look up that word midst. It means anything that's near you. It can't come near you, friend. When he brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, there was not one weak or feeble among their tribe. What was it? How is there not one person who's weak or feeble in any way among millions? The blessing of God. But friend, we got to learn to put pressure on it. Start putting pressure on the blessing. Wake up and say, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed just because I came in, and I'm blessed because I'm going out. My bank accounts are blessed. My body is blessed. My kids are blessed. Why? God's put his blessing on me. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, like we've been ending our services with. With sickness, I have health. For poverty, I have wealth. For sin, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, because the blessing of Abraham, it's mine. Amen. I could keep going, but we'll see you next week. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before you tonight. I thank you for these people. Open our eyes, Lord, to these scriptures. Open our eyes to your word and let us see the just. They should be living by faith, dependent upon you, putting all the pressure on you, for you are our source. God, you are our source. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that you blessed them. Let them walk in that blessing. Let their eyes awaken to the fact that they are blessed with the very blessing we read about tonight on that man Abraham, Father, the father of faith you've called him. That, Father, the blessing we saw in his life, that's the same blessing that you blessed us with according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And Father, we thank you. You care enough about us to take care of us. And that's why you gave us the blessing in the first place. We love you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you